Okay, continuing along, I think this is actually this first sif over here, sivav, that's being referred to. I think is actually what we left off in the middle of last week. Well, no, it's not just the middle that it shows. It doesn't show the whole thing, Kesad? That's the beginning. It's the beginning of sivav.
What are we Kesad and how?
So the sif before it was, meaning the seicher aleihen mitan, the sif before it explained the mitan, how you fool them, you tell them X, and then you don't have to do it. If they left the job by a dover ha'avit, right, by a pile, by a dover ha'avit, we said it's not yad el oyain anymore. So the Gemara said seicher aleihen mitan. Now the Mechaber explained beforehand what mitan means, now he's going to explain what seicher aleihen means. So zok to Mechaber and sifvav. Ketzad seicher aleihem. Remember, we said you have to add another word there of seicher again. Ketzad seicher aleihem. How do you do this? So seicher payalim v'goyimrim melachton shalei tovad. You can hire other workers to come and complete the job shalei tovad, so that the balabayas should not lose out anything. V'chol sheyosef leilu apayalim acher mamash apasak l'rishayim. Anything that he has to add to the second group of workers, above and beyond that which he was pasak for the Rishayim, meaning proportionally, if they did 50% of the job, and the whole job was supposed to be worth $1,000, so their chelik that they completed was 500, the remainder should be worth 500, but it might cost him 700 to finish it, so he can pay the new workers 700 at the expense of the first crew. Naito me harishayim. Yeah.
Has conversation at the Shabbos table.
Yeah.
Almost using the exact same numbers. We're a painter. Right, $1,000 and he finished half the job. So we discussed it. It was, let's say, four rooms, four equal size rooms, the two of them. So it's easy to identify that it's half the job.
Right? Okay.
Can you say it's $250 a room? If it's just $1,000, I mean, where does it job? I mean, if it's an hourly, where can you differentiate between the whole job and break it up into parts?
No, so I would be concerned, even in your case, that, I mean, to begin with, he's probably a cobbler. Right, I mean, your painter is not, I don't think, is a seicher. You're not paying him hourly at all. You're paying him, let's call it per job as one job of four rooms, but you hired him for the job for $1,000. So as a koblin would be yodei al tachtena no matter what. And now, if he taka backed out, this is a real-time story?
No, it's not a real-time story.
Theoretically. If he backs out in the middle, now you have to finish the job, so you should be able to just look at the whole sum. And why would you think... What would be the reason you'd have to break it down?
How would we pass in that case that we have to find a new person and it costs $700, which is the number that I use? You only have to pay the first guy $300.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Even though that it's you can in this case,
even though he can claim I completed two rooms, the question. I mean, why can't you get the next guy to do it for $500?
Because no one wants to come for just two rooms.
Right. I mean, the reason he gave you $250 a room is very cheap.
Right.
It's because he was doing four rooms. If you would have called him in for two rooms, it probably would cost you $800 also, right? Yeah, whatever the number is. Yeah. Okay. Good.
There's any discussion here about materials.
It's going to come up here, but tell me what you mean with materials.
For example, like in the paint job, $1,000. Part of that is labor, part of that is materials.
Right.
Unless you charge the materials differently. So when he backs out, you say you only have to pay him $300, right? Because it costs you $700 to get a new guy.
Right.
Right? But does that take into account is that you're only going to be buying materials for another two rooms, or, well, let's say the price of materials changed in the interim, or... I'm just saying it's another variable.
Right. He might have bought all the materials and spent that money.
If you're building a house, it would be very negative.
So tell him not to back out. The fact that he backed out... The first day, bought all materials for the whole job.
Let me rephrase it. It may cost you more to order the remainder of the materials than had you made a bulk order in the first place.
Right. Right. Okay, I would venture to say that it's all included in the Yad El Oyein of the Balabayas, that he can factor that in.
Well, his responsibility wasn't to get the materials. In other words, some contractors will say, you know, this is my cost plus materials, some will say this is the cost and I guarantee it, you know.
Well, and if you would have it broken down as plus material, so then the material would remain as something independent of the contract?
Maybe.
I mean, I would say if that's an industry standard.
Then it was in the first case also, that he bought materials for the whole job already. And he has materials right now.
Well, he might not have bought it. Could be that was part of his scandal too. He only bought materials for half the job and then copped out.
The money from materials and they
ran. Right. Yep.
So basically, I'm just trying to do a sarita. So kablam the other is the other is al tachtana.
The kablam is the other al tachtana.
And by
a pile is the other al yoyne unless it's a davar ha'avit. If it's a davar ha'avit, then the yad balabayas al yoyne. So says the mechaber writer, you can hire again. Whatever you have to pay for the second group of payalim, amasha pasuk the rishenim above and beyond what you were paid for the rishenim, neitul me rishenim, you can take from them ad kama, ad kadei schar and shal rishenim, up until the schar of what the rishenim was supposed to get paid, which means in that painting case, let's say your max would be 1,000. Right, that up until 1,000 you can pay the second group. Now, not always is the number 50-50. The number could be that the first group just did 20%. So that 20% is very easy to lose.
Yeah, the guy did 80%.
You still could do it. And if you have 25% of the job left, he completed three quarters of the way, and that 25% costs you, more than half. Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah.
Did we put a cap in it though? Last week we had a sort of a cap, no?
We're saying ad kadei schar, and that's the default. Okay. Up until the amount of their schar of the upmach, but we'll see vayitiv. Imhayu lehem mamay tachas yadoi. Mechaber continues with another halacha that if they have mamay tachas yadoi for whatever reason, you have in your possession some of their funds. You can hire someone else to complete the job, even at a rate of 40 or 50 zuz per day per worker. Even though the going rate typically for a payal is 3 or 4 zuz, you can go above and beyond that and hire someone for 40 or 50, which is more than 10%.
Ten times,
I mean. Thank you. What the amount was, you could still do that. Now the sma added in that number. Was just an example, doesn't mean specifically that number, it just means that basically in the most extreme of circumstances, how much would a person overpay in order to cover his back and get this done? And whatever that number is, that's how high we let you go. For different jobs, it will be different amounts. Sometimes I guess it will be 200%, sometimes it might go as high as, I don't know, maybe this number is 1,000%. Okay, says the Rama Vaiter, V'im loy sachar alayin achirim. Yeah. If he did not hire someone else, so then what do we do? Meaning, oh, that's right. You should switch. Let him have. It's more sunny.
You want to say you're sunny?
V'imloy sachar aleihem achirim. Now the Rama speaks about an interesting connection. Now, what happens if you don't? You have a right to hire somebody else at his expense. Let's say you opt not to. Can you withhold from him the amount that it theoretically would cost to finish the job, just simply by telling him you didn't complete the job? Now, even putting ourselves in the shoes of this individual in this scenario, we wouldn't be excited to give this guy anything. I mean, I hired you for a job, you did half the job, you didn't complete the job, get out of here. So if I'm hiring someone else, so it's much more straightforward that I need that money to complete the job. What about if I'm not hiring the guy and I just want to withhold proportionally? I assume my purpose of withholding is not just to get him back. It's because in theory it's going to cost me that to complete it.
Yeah, as you had the whole building was worth, so it's not worth it for you to go spend the extra money on the 20%.
That's a good example.
But because it's a large amount of money, so you'd rather pocket it. But it has nothing to do with him.
Right.
He's in the basement.
He did the whole house, but the basement. So, you want to move into the house, you're not going to finish the basement. Now, how do you define that extra?
So it costs you a lot more to finish the basement. But you'd rather keep the money rather than hire somebody at that inflated expense and let him pay for it.
So let's give it some numbers. You're building a house for $400,000. The basement, included in that $400,000, costs $20,000.
Right.
But independently, it's going to cost $40,000.
In 6 months from now, to do the basement. No, but when you're doing the whole in the house, when you're doing the whole house, it'd be a much smaller amount.
Whatever it is, now, independent of that, it would cost.
After this, you go ahead, get two quotes to finish your basement,
and then pocket the money?
Yeah, not necessarily finish the basement.
Oh, well, so that's what the Rambam is going to talk about right now. Meaning, if you're hiring someone else, we said, you're allowed to hire at their expense and withhold the 40 and hire a new guy for 40. But if you're not hiring, are you allowed to withhold that 40?
No, you may do it in a year from now. Now you don't want to do it now.
So, v'im loy sachar aleyem acherim, eina payalim chayovim l'shalom loy hezeker. Rama says that if you're not hiring somebody, they're not mechayiv to pay you the hezek, which means the 20 that it proportionally was worth, you're allowed to withhold. You don't have to pay them for that, which they didn't do. But you can't withhold the other 20 above that to get to your number of 40 that it theoretically would cost to do it if you're not doing it. Now the question is, what's the...
I don't have the money right now.
So they said, do it right now.
I don't have money.
You have to pay the guy $400,000 to build the house. So go get a fire.
I'm saying you're only giving him.
And the duck for you only give the guy $360. Mr. Bates, you can't.
Yeah.
And he's saying you're allowed to do that, but if you're not going to do it now, he's saying you're allowed to take up the 20.
So this comes from in Muka Yosef in Perikonin. The Yeshayimrim, this I think is another Nakud. I'm just wondering what the cap is on this in terms of a time frame. I'm curious to know, like, is there a limit here? Meaning, I'm not hiring other workers. It means I'm not hiring other workers immediately, or I'm not hiring other workers, period. And what about if I'm hiring workers in a month from now? I would assume that's okay. A year from now, that's already too late?
The price is going to go up, so how much can you decide?
Right. Well, you probably can't chase them for life. I mean, I think it's a one-time shot that you could withhold now X amount.
Current cost.
Probably. But is it the current cost if I'm doing it today versus if I'm doing it in 6 months, then I can't do it? I don't know. Okay. I mean, typically the Sachar Aleim scenario would be immediately. That you're moving forward with the job, and the fact that they dropped out, you're not stopping there, you're continuing. So Leisach Aleim by default means you didn't hire someone else at the time that they dropped out.
What's the reason?
We just want to know what would happen if you would hire someone else.
What's the reasoning to say this?
That they're not mechiv in the hezek. See, they're not really called mazikim. A pail being chaser is cruel, but he's not really wrong per se.
How's that? Meaning a davar avod? It's going to cost you more to finish.
No, it is a davar avod. We're not denying that. Meaning. Usually, Yad Pail Al Tachtaina. Why is that? Because Chilibin Yisrael Avadim Alei Avadim Avadim. Now, what does that mean? Let's think about that for a second. Chilibin Yisrael Avadim, and therefore what? Therefore, you don't have to be honest. Therefore, you don't have to keep your word. I mean, therefore, when you make an agreement with a guy, you just walk away? It just means that in actuality, he's not bound by the agreement. It's an agreement that you have between him, but he doesn't become your slave. He's still a freelance, so to speak. He still works for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And you're paying him to do a job.
He's still for a higher pay. He leaves me because he pays $5 more an hour. So it's the same slave, just for a higher pay.
You're right, but you can't keep him under your grasp as a slave. You don't have a right to. I mean, he has a right to pull out because he's the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Eved, not yours. So now, when it comes to a davar avid, and we switch and we say it's not yad peila al tachtein anymore, becomes yad peila al yoyna. We just have more pity on you because it's a davar avid. But I don't. Again, do we call this guy a mazik? When the pail is pulling out, I understand. So he's a straightforward mazik. He's still a freelancer.
Well, that's it. No, it's basically, but if he starts to build my house, and I have to move my house, and I don't move out wherever I rent, I pay extra rent, everything.
That's a davar avod. I understand, but he's not a direct mazik.
I can move the house. I have to find a different house.
You're getting hurt. It's a davar avod.
It's a mazik?
Well, is that called mazik?
It's mazik.
Mazik is I take my hand and I break your thing.
Is it a pile or a couple?
Pile.
And the end result could be the same. Meaning that...
Yeah, you are getting damaged. We're just trying to understand that when we say Yad Pail Al Yayna, I mean, how do we look at that pile? And then we switch it to Yad Pail Tachtayna. He's called a Mazik? He's not called a Mazik. He's an Eved Hashem, therefore he's allowed to back out. He's not your Eved. Now, there are repercussions, so sometimes we'll be able to bill him for it, sometimes we won't.
Right. He has a Bechira. He has a Bechira to leave. He doesn't have to. You can't lock him in. He's leaving. He doesn't want to intentionally hurt you. Yes, by his actions, he's hurting you, but he's not deliberately going and breaking down, being a mazik and breaking your property.
It's deliberate because I can't move to the house.
Yeah, but he has to leave. You can't lock him in forever.
I don't know if that makes him deliberate, but the truth is, let's say it even is deliberate, he's still off the hook. It's still, I mean, it's an allowance for a pile to back out.
If you think he was hired by the competition to do this to you.
Right. Even if you know for a fact it was deliberate, Allah, I think, I believe it still is the same. Okay, Vaitim. V'yeshayimim. Continuing in the Ramah, but a little lambetes. V'yeshayimim, the hadis seicher alehen. Second line of the Rama. Yeshem, it's in the, oh no, it's the next little block underneath him. Beginning over there. V'yeshayim hadaseicher aleim adaboy mechamishim zuz. Yeah, there's both lamed zayin and lamed tes. That which we say seicher aleim adaboy mechamishim zuz. Hainu dafka shetofas kli omnusam. It's dafka where you have their kli omnus. Avol shar dvarim loy. Meaning the mechaber mentioned before, right? That if you happen to be own a bank, and this guy this pile has money in your bank, he has an account in your bank, and now he's doing a job for you, a construction job, and he backs out in the middle. We say seicher aleim and ad kadei scharon. That which the mechaber put in that you could do charge them 10 times as much if you have their things of theirs in your possession. That's dafka the klayum. This means they left the truck on the job site, so you can keep that. But that for sure, the 100% of what you agreed on for the job, you mean your $400,000 job, you have enough leeway. I mean, well, if you did pay them, it's more complicated to get it back, but essentially you have the leeway up until the 400. And we're talking about a $1,000 job, and he only did $200 worth of it, and now your new guy, it's going to cost you more than the 800 to finish, so you're allowed to go up to that 1,000 and past it, so long as you have something of theirs in your position. So that which the Mechaber said, something of theirs in your position, the Rama says it's dafka something related to the job, kli umnis, but not that you have something, some other object of theirs.
I understand. If you don't have something in your possession, you can't go to Bezin afterwards. And if Dalach is Dalach, like you're saying.
Yeah, so we touched on that last week. That what is the understanding of that? Right? Why would this din be as such? That Seichar Aleim
is... You're hard to get your money, but still, if Dalach is Dalach, you can take it to Bezin and go after your money. Maybe it's saying it'll be easier to get your money if you have property of his.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're allowed to go after him when you have his illness, why would you not be allowed to, his claimless, why would you not be allowed to go after him if you don't have his claimless with the same exact amount of money?
Right. I don't know the explanation for that. That is, you do see from the way this is being put down by both the Mechaber and the Rama that's not... That extra leeway that we're giving you doesn't seem to be like straightforward din that he's obligated to that amount. It's for some reason like a wishy-washy allowance. I shouldn't use the word wishy-washy, that's not appropriate. But it's a looser allowance that if there's a something, we'll let you do it. If there isn't, then we don't. I don't know what it is.
Can I have the return to my nighttime? I mean, you're raping this as a mashkin, right?
No. I think it's more than a mashkin, I would say. I know that you have to sell it. You can probably keep it as is, too, if you needed a pickup truck. Feel free to use it. You know, we can look at the... Oh, you don't have it there. I gave you half a Shulchan Aruch this week. Just glancing here at the Shach in Islam Ches, which is not on your paper. But Tofas Kleim Nusan, the Shach says that there's a Smichas Das, an additional Smichas Das, once you have certain Kalim of his. And therefore, Yachol Litveis Afilu Yesem Mikadei Scharon, it sounds like minadin the mechuyev ad kadei scharon, but the fact that he left his trucks on your property, meaning a lot of contractors, the first thing they do when they start a job is they bring equipment onto the job site, and they park it there. And sometimes it's never a riot that they're going to come back even, right? So if it's storage for some reason, it's convenient for them. So there is some form of a smichas das that he understands that he's leaving his dump truck on your property, that it's vulnerable, something. Okay, weiter. V'dafka, continuing in the Ramah. V'dafka b'dover ha'ovid she'enim mamin. When do we say that you have these regulations of how you're, of what you're allowed to withhold from them? By a dover ha'ovid. Dafka weir, it's a dover ha'ovid she'enim mamin. A dover ha'ovid that is not mamin. Kigayin melamed echadayim lezel. He was supposed to provide a service. Melamed, he was supposed to be teaching your child, which generally is a kablin even. But I guess if you're hiring him by the hour... Not well, by the year he could still be a pile, right? Yeah, so that's wrong. But I guess he generally is a pile, unless you're hiring him to teach him. We had an example earlier where you hired him to teach a specific chumash or bar mitzvah seder or things of that sort. But let's say you hired him daily, weekly, monthly, and he's supposed to do a service of teaching your child. So now it's definitely a davar ovid if the melamed cops out midway or he cuts out for 2 weeks or whatever it is. But it's not something. I guess it's not monetary. The damage is not monetary. The damage is something else. That's when we say that you're only allowed to withhold up until his wages and up until something of his that you have in your possession. But something that's a davar avid shomamin, sarach l'shalom l'kol hazeker, which, if I'm understanding correctly, davar avid shomamin means something where he's constructing something for you. He's working on a project, and now he pulls out a middle, and this turns into a davar ha'avid, your house, let's say, I think would be an example of a davar avid shomamin. Over there, sarach l'shalom l'kol hazeker, you can obligate him to pay the whole demei ha'hezek.
Wouldn't it be rather like the cases of the pishtun, where you hire the tech?
Well, that's the best case. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
But the
pishtun that's soaking, your flax that's soaking, that needs to be pulled out. It's something that if it's timely, it's dover. But if he doesn't pull it out, that money, you have $100 of pishtun in there, and it gets totally destroyed. So even if you're only paying him, it's 1 hour's worth of work, and you're paying him $6 an hour to pull it out, and he doesn't pull through, you can withhold more than the $6. You could charge him somehow, take him to Bezna for the whole $100.
If you can't find,
right? I mean, Seichar Aleinu Mitum. No, even if Seichar Aleinu, if you have to hire above and beyond the six,
yeah, fine.
That's what it's for. Well, if you couldn't get someone, it got totally damaged.
Yeah.
But again, you probably would have to add in that stipulation that if you choose not to get someone for whatever reason, you're not going to be able to go to town with this. It's not mechiv to pay for the hezek if you chose not to get somebody. Now, what's in my case of a house? Where does that fall into this? I mean, the guy who's building a house that backs out a middle becomes a davar avid because expenses are rising. He's a pile, let's say. The materials are on you, I guess, and you're paying him, you know, by the week. Yeah, yeah. So what is that also called a davar avid shel mamain, where we say chayv sham lekol hazekei? Well, what was the damage? The damage is that you have half a house? Or that the roof wasn't put on and there's a storm coming and things inside are getting ruined? I don't know if that's davar avid. The guy's building a table for you and he builds it halfway. It's not a davar avid. It's half a table, so you gotta go get someone to finish it. So it's the guy who's building a table on Erev Pesach, like the person who's bringing the chalilim, the kalo, elameis, which is one of the examples of something that's time sensitive, so you're not gonna have the band by Yechasim because he didn't pull through.
Davar avid, not necessarily monetarily. It could be, so that's not money. Time is also money, but there are certain elements of it that they're not necessarily money.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, the house, I guess, would fall into the case of davar avid if you have your rent that you're paying elsewhere.
Yeah, rent to pay elsewhere.
That's a davar. I'm saying the fact that a project takes longer than you anticipated.
Now you want to move, now your kids can say yeshiva on time. There's so many different things.
But other complications. I don't know if that's money. I don't know how you could, if you could put a price tag on that.
So I could put a price tag on a band at a wedding.
It's a good question. I think we're Marvel has spoken about that, right? How do you treat that? I mean, that's even the example that's given in the Gemara and the Shulchan
Aruch. I want to clarify, Mitten, in that case where you can go in and shot Shalom and pay another $5,000 to stay, right?
For what?
And they want to leave after the first dance. So you say we need you know, $5,000 to stay. They say we don't believe you, and you have to give it to them. Are you allowed to take the best and get back that? Does that Mitten means you're allowed to go back and get it, or it means you're allowed to trick them and say we're going to pay you, and when it comes time to pay, say, no, I'm not paying. If you pay them,
I think it's both.
Either way,
yeah.
Where you're going to basically get the money back.
You can't go to Bezdin.
Why not?
No,
said, that's the license of Mata Eisen.
I believe he said that you can take the Bezdin and get your money back. I mean, if they're right, fine. Yeah. Right. What's the difference?
No, but that problem.
But once you pay it, I think it's
the Kenyan.
No, but the whole paying was.
How do you prove that it was a mitten? How do you know that in your mind it was a mitten?
So you might have to go through the Dentera. You might have to go through the Dentera, but if Bezdin can trust you, if you can prove. You had Adim. I'm saying everyone was at the house and saw what went on, and this was a loud argument. It wasn't a quiet little thing on the side. Give me money. I'm saying, they weren't playing. What's going on? There were enough people crowding around that overheard the conversation. You could win the case. I'm saying if you can prove your side of the story, Bezdin will get it back for you. I mean, that it makes sense that that's included in the license of Mata Eisan. We allow you to trick them, not just to say it, I mean, even if Ataka has to come today. So the only thing I'm harping on with this Rama over here is that these are like opposite ends of the the spectrum here. Dafka davar arba, that's not mammon, like a malama de chadem leza, someone who's providing a service, someone who's teaching. And the typical example of that is the pishta min amishra. But what about everything else in between in our lives, every other case of a davar arba that you're dealing with? How do you quantify, number one, and then does that fall into the category of davar shal mammon, and then you could bill him kol hazekai? I'm just a little bit of a loss. I think you're trying to understand examples of it. Okay, let's see the shach here. Lamites. V'dafka b'davar ha'ovid she'ena mamin. Nira sharav mechalik shanemuk yosef mayri b'davar ovid she'ena mamin. The nemuk yosef is talking about davar ha'ovid she'ena mamin. That's when we say you're limited in how much you can withhold from them, whether it's ad kadei scharon or even more than that, as long as you have
time.
Delayed or something. But that would be called which one?
Yeah, so
That's an example of davar she'ena mamon. I don't know if time is not money. Time might be money, meaning depending on the scenario, generally.
Direct damages.
Dafka direct versus indirect?
Otherwise, any damages would be. Why is it specifically mamon?
A davar shel mamon.
Direct damages. Cannot move in.
Why is it not moving in? What's the damage of not moving in? Because you're paying rent. You're paying a double mortgage. Okay.
No, I'm just saying my friend's case was he's a distributor of a particular Pesach product. And a week before Pesach, he sent out the truck. And somebody hired away the trucker. The driver left the truck and goodbye.
Wow. Wow.
Because, it was a competition. So, the driver was a pile, but time is of the essence. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Time mattered. Because
so, Dava Abishamam, there are tangible products even that he was that he couldn't sell.
He's
stuck with. Wow. Okay. It's a nasty world out there. Nirish Arav Mechalik.
Bad people out there.
The Ramah over here is Mechalik, that this Nemuk Yosef that we said that you can go above and beyond the money is Dafka where it's, I'm sorry, where you can only go above the money if you have a mashkin, and that's where you're stuck, is Dafka B'davar Ovid Shein Imamin, V'chein Mashem B'darki Meisha, so is Mashem B'darki Meisha as well. But Be'emes, the Nemuk Yosef, Mashem the Shach begs to differ, and he says, Be'emes, if you look inside the Nemuk Yosef, it's even when it's more direct of a hefsid mamin, you're still not mukhayif to the hezek. Meaning the right of seichar aleihem that you can take this pile and charge him for what it's going to cost you to get this done is only ad kadeh scharan, and that's it. It doesn't go further than that. Even if it's a davar shel mamin, you can't take him to bezdin and make him pay for the hezek. V'chein mashma b'haramban shehevi beis yosef. So is mashma the Ramban as well, that is really what the Nemuk Yosef holds. This is the Shach speaking of his understanding of the Nemuk Yosef. But says the Shach, al kaponim, it still seems that they're not arguing. The Ramban and Nemuk Yosef, says if you look closely, and in the case of Nemuk Yosef, where Hitaka doesn't make a difference between davar shel mamon or not, he's talking about where you didn't do your diligence in hiring a replacement worker right away. You took your time and let it fall apart. Now, this was, you were frustrated. I don't know if you did this intentionally to get the guy back, but you were dealing with a challenging situation and you didn't run and jump and hire the new guy. You left it and saying, okay, it's going to be too bad on this first worker, it's going to be his problem. You waited and therefore it fell apart. Meaning, I guess there was another band outside in the parking lot that you could have brought in and you didn't do that, and instead you waited and left the situation where, I don't know, they were gone already and you had to call someone in to come on emergency level for the last 2 hours at the house, and it cost you who knows what. So then, that's when the Nemuk Yosef says that even if it would be a davar shel mamon, you're not able to charge them. The reason is because they're not mechuyif to pay for that which got lost by you being so complacent, and just waiting and letting it go away. I don't know what that stands for. But afterwards, the chesed tofei. It's a tough. Yeah, but I don't know where that comes into this paragraph then. And it can be a Shumas Sedesh, it can be Teres Abayis, it could be others too, but I don't know. Maybe Shaloi Ha Yemaitse Liskar are talking about that he wasn't able to find anybody. Meaning, so the Shachas, fearing guys that happens to be, I disagree with you regarding what the Kavanas and the Mukhi Yosef is. The Mukhi Yosef really holds, even if when it's a Dabar Shalmama and you can't take schlep them to court for it. However, you the Rama are going to end up being justified in your conclusion, because if you look closely at the Mukhi Yosef, he's talking about a case, he doesn't let you take them to Bezdin, be mechayiv them for Kol HaZekai, in a case where you didn't do your diligence to try to replace them right away and get someone else to finish the job. Then you're not going to be able to hold it against them. But if you tried your best, and let's say Yitaka got somebody right away, or no, if you got someone, then you didn't have your loss. But it ended up becoming a davar. No, it's both. No. If you got someone right away, it could be you have to pay more, and then you're dealing with how much money you can get back from them. Or if you couldn't get somebody, and now the thing actually went to waste, your pishdan went to waste, and you lost the full $100. So then the Shach says it happens to be that Mugi Yosef would be maskim that Chayv L'Shalom Lo Hezekai, and I Shach, am okay with that psak, even though I don't agree how you got to it, Rabbi Ramah. That is essentially what the Shach is saying. Okay, so to summarize all this, what we're talking about, generally speaking, Yad Poyel Al Tachtena, I'm sorry, Yad Kablan Al Tachtena, Yad Poyel Al Yoin, if he backs out. If it's a Dover HaAvid, we say there already the Yad Poyel Al Tachtena, the Yad Balabayas is Al Yoin, and you're allowed to be mad to them to complete the job, or Seicher Alehim. Now we're speaking about what are the limitations of Seicher Alehim. So in this Sif, we see over here in Shulchan Aruch that definitely up to their wages, and potentially way above and beyond that, so long as you have kalim to withhold against that. And it comes a certain point where if it's a tangible hezek of a davar shel mamon, then you're even allowed to schlep them to Bezdin and get back the demeya hezek. So now, on a practical, let's try to think of a real-time example, other than pishtun sitting in something. Something where you hire... What do you say?
Speak up.
Sam. What's that? But then he'll talk so loud, everyone's gonna hear him down.
We like it.
Go ahead.
You're in the party supply business, and you have a big job coming up, and good. You hired guys, and right before the job, they quit, and there's no way to, you know, so it's a davar shel mamon because.
What were they were delivery guys?
Delivery guys, setup guys, okay. Breakdown guys that are experienced. Yeah, and
good.
You can't replace them too. You can't find a replacement, not one that's going. So the whole thing is going to get messed up. You're going to lose the customer. You're going to lose the money.
Okay.
Yeah. Pass for Jean. Not this could be the mice, but
okay. That's a full blown example of something that is a.
Right. You have a tax firm and you have an employee that you rely on, and it's coming to tax season, and it's already February 1st or whatever, and the person says, you know what? I'm out. I'm done with it. What?
I know you need a davar shel mamon.
It's a davar shel mamon.
No, a davar shel mamon. You want a profit, you don't get a profit, but someone
the davar shel mamon. The truth is, even going back to the party case for a second,
you're going
to
lose.
You're not going to lose. You're going to lose the account.
You're going to lose your customers.
But that's fine. But you're not going to make money. That's the problem. You don't direct loss. You didn't.
And then my example by the supply is also the same thing.
Right.
No, because here there's a contract.
He didn't make the money.
Same thing. If you have a contract, you have 10 clients you can service as an accountant, and now you have 4 employees. Now you lose an employee, so now you can only have 7.
What happened? The employee got killed.
It's an onus.
Life insurance.
It's not very close.
No, that seems to be a key. You know, is it minyas ravach in this
case, or is it not?
I would say it's a damage.
Because why isn't the minyas ravach? Because you have the client.
Client is a very difficult thing. It was Vera was saying yesterday, last week. A client will go on years and years, like a lot of repeat business. And if you destroy that relationship is worth not just this instance. It's worth 5, 10 years, 20 years.
Something
like
building the river. Missing something.
With the
river.
Right.
I put in business.
Yeah. No. so he's well, there might be a chiluk. I don't know that he's wrong per se. You have a point that there's a distinction between the two, but if you have a given, what was the term for this that we had in the previous sugyas?
You have product that you
are. In any service business, this doesn't apply. This is not applied. It's only when you're paying somebody to protect something that you that you own from damage. You hire a guy to put a tarp out over something which is going to get rained on,
right,
and he doesn't do it, then there's an Israel. But everything else is not.
Right. I would assume so, because
I think in a service business is absolutely direct. If you have somebody that's servicing, you know, he has his prime guy that's going to set everything up and do the whole thing right, and the guy backs out for no good reason right beforehand, and he can't do it. The job is lousy, though, and everybody's unhappy with it. The customer's gone.
Why should it work for you?
What? No, he's scheduled to do something this Sunday, this Monte Shabbos, whatever it is.
Yeah, but he can do another $50 extra.
That's my
Hey, we're getting a little technical here. I mean, he's saying you have a contract already, and therefore the money's in the bag, or you have the client already, so it's something that's coming in constantly, and you're stopping that. And let's just shift to the case of a guy with a damaged roof, where it's a sunny day, and my roof got damaged today, and I called in a roofer, and I told him, listen, expecting another storm in the middle of the week. I need this fixed. Can you do it for me today? You know, in the next 2 days. And he says yes. And you hire him.
You
hire him to do it. Let's stay away from Kabbalah and keep him as a pile for whatever reason. You know, you pay for the materials and pay us $10 an hour. We'll get it done. And then he walks away. He walks away a minute, and the storm's coming on Wednesday, and boom, your whole house needs a paint job now. Right. I'm switching to a case of direct damage, which is a lot more straightforward. These things can be debated where they fall in. I can hear that it would be considered a given that you're getting that money. It doesn't have to be something tangible and physical. I mean, in essence, what he's pointing out, that now we're being so limited that it's only a place where it's hezek to something that you have already, which means that the whole job that you hired the guy for is to protect what you have. Meaning, whether it's to take the piston out of the flex and make it better, but leaving it in damages it, or to complete my roof so that I don't get any more leaks. What about if I hire a guy to build a new house? At that point, there's no point where it's called a davar shel mamon. Only if I'm going to lose my rent or I have to pay another month's mortgage somewhere else. Maybe. It just seems very limited to do that. Yes. Okay, let's go back to what's next? Mishnah B'Metzia. Okay. Weiter. Zog the Mishnah. So now we're going to address a different scenario where you have a worker that's supposed to do work for you where he directly damaged you. How do you address that? So the top portion on this page says on top of the page, charging worker for damage costs. So Mishnah B'Metzia Daf Kuf Dalet. Yeah, like 6 lines in the bottom of that first section. Makabel Sada Mechaveiroi V'Hayvira. If somebody was Makabel Sada, meaning I hired a guy as a Kablan to work on my field, to plow it, to plant it, and to take care of it, V'Hayvira, and he left it empty, so to speak, Lashon Bor, right? Left it, what's the English word for that? Bor is an English word? No. Bor. No.
Foul.
Okay. All right. So Shaman Isa Kamaru Yalase. So how do you address this? I hired this guy before the planting season, that he's in charge of my field. He's a Kablan. I'm giving him $5,000 for the season to work on my field. And now he slacked off and he didn't do what he was supposed to throughout the season. So my field is ruined and I lost the whole season's crop. So Shaman Isa Kamaru Yalase. V'naisenlai, we evaluate how much it could have made, v'naisenlai, and that's how much he has to pay. Shekach kaisavlai, because essentially in his contract it is written, im oivir v'lai eved eshalim b'meitavi. If I will be lazy, so to speak, or I will leave it kind of empty, v'lai eved, and I won't perform eshalim b'meitavi, I will pay you at a premium. I will pay for whatever it's worth. So even though his contract might have only been $5,000 to work the field for the season, but the yield would have been $10,000, he's obligated to pay the $10,000 that this field would would have produced. Now,
does he deduct his wages?
I'm sorry?
He was supposed to get $5,000 wages. Does he deduct the wages and pay just the difference?
He didn't do anything.
Even in the war, I have to pay whatever I have. It was $10,000 and I said $10,000, but I still entitled for my wages for the year.
Does he surely have to pay $5,000?
Yeah, because it would cost you $5,000 for me to make the football.
I would think it's only $5,000. I mean, it wouldn't be too logical to say it's the full $10,000. I mean, if let's say everything would have went well, so he would have had $10,000 worth of peppers, and he would have paid me $5,000 to make it. So he would have had $5,000 profit, or whatever $5,000 value. Now I did nothing, so I have to give him. You know, I would think it means I have to give him that. Zakt Rashi. Rashi's all the way to the top line. Hayvira. Very calmly he plowed it and planted it. He didn't exactly overwork. He might have even done some work, but he slacked on the job, and it's absolutely clear that there was that he did not perform. So Shaman Isaac going bekablonus shakiba lemechzel shlish revia. We're talking about a kablon that his wage was supposed to be mechzel shlish revia. Let's say 5,000 out of 10,000 peppers is mechzel. Right, so now he's going to have to pay essentially just that other half. The 5,000 above it. Chakronis, however, it wouldn't pass. What is chakronis again?
Leasing the land for a year.
Right. So then it doesn't make a difference. Chakronis is I pay you a fee. I pay you a set fee. So then it doesn't make a difference whether I worked or not. I definitely have to pay that fee. No questions asked. Im oivir, it says in his contract, im oivir esen aburah. If I'm going to make it empty, v'loy ever, then I won't work properly. Meaning v'loy esabah pula haruyala. I won't do the pa'ula that is roi for this in order to make it perform. So we see from this Mishnah an interesting twist that if you hire a guy to do a job and he doesn't do a good job at it, right, then what happens? Not only doesn't he get paid, he has to pay you the damages way above and beyond his salary. Is that so different than a pail, or just now we're talking about a kablin? I'm saying by kablin also we said the other al-tachtain, a kablin that backs out.
We're talking about quality of the job, we're not talking about whether he did the job. You hired him to build a house.
Okay.
Development, let's say, right? And he built the schlocky development. So now you're left with the poor quality houses and
right.
Stations on the line and all that, right?
Good.
So he's got to make good on it.
Maybe that's least capable.
What? What's that?
That's least capable.
It's always capable. Okay, so let's see the mechaber on this. Mechaber is right afterwards here. Gimel nosan semer letzava v'hikti chosa yairif. You gave wool to a dyer, and hikti chosa yairif, I believe, means that like he burnt it in the vat or something. He essentially ruined it in the process. Noisan loy demetzmore. He has to give you back the value of the tzemer. Correct. So which means if I gave him $100 worth of tzemer, and when it would have been dyed, it would have been worth $120, and he ruined it, so he has to give me back the $100, which we can understand as being fair and square. I'm saying I take my $100 and start over. I mean, I might be let down, but that's life. Basically, to make summary, tzavay be'or oynos naloi letzvaya edem v'tzavay shachar. No, that's probably not a base. That's probably a chaf.
Which
one? Masabu,
or the fire?
Cooler?
Yes, like disgusting. If he ruined it, I think. Yeah. That's why, I mean, I could look it up one second. Let me see. I do have a Shulchan Aruch.
He didn't burn it, he did the job, but it's a lousy guy.
Shin Vav Gimel. Yes. Yeah. So he ruined it. He did it, but he did a bad job. Well, you asked him to make it black, and he was all excited when he gave it to you. Look how nice I did it, and he gives it back. I'm sorry. You asked him to make it red, and he gave it to you black. Or shachar b'tzavei adam. Well, he made it the wrong color. So essentially, he did his job. He didn't totally destroy the goods, but he didn't do what he was supposed to. So let's say, the difference between black and red, I don't know if that's a tangible difference. Meaning, it could be... it might even be the same dollar figure in value in the store, but for me, right, that's not what I need. I have nothing to do with that now. But Savayadam, Nasan Eitzim L'Chorosh, Lasis Mem Kisei, you gave wood to a carpenter to make a Kisei Na'a, to make you a nice chair. Vasa Kisei Ra'a made you a rotten chair. That's your development. Aisaf Salo, instead of a chair, he made you a bench. So now, what is he... Who who has to pay who what. So I gave him, let's try to keep it simple, in each case I gave him $100 worth of goods, and he didn't, he was supposed to do something to it that would make it worth $150, and he didn't do that. He didn't do the right thing, or he did something that's shvach. I'm sorry. Ima shvach yesra lo itza, noisim bala kli esho itza. Mimo itza, yesera lo shvach, noisim lo yesra shvach bulvad. So now, if the shvach that this is worth is more than the hitza, which means what? The hitza is the... Yeah, but the cost of what? The labor. Right. So let's say his labor, your $100 of wood that turns into a $150 chair, it's really $20 worth of labor that he puts into it that brings it up to the $150. So if the shvach is yes, the balakli is getting back his wood. He's not getting it back looking the way he wants it to. He got back a bench instead of a chair, and he doesn't exactly care for a bench. But lemaisa, he has it and it has its value. So you're not going to have to pay him the full. Okay, this is a little hard to decipher. Chaitzah is the expense that he put into it. The Umin, yes, the carpenter. My materials, his chaitzah in terms of... I don't know that it's all my materials. I mean, I gave him the raw product, and it's his chaitzah in terms of his time and nails and tools. And, right, well... I think so. No?
Even though he did what he didn't hire him to do?
How are you sharing what his time is worth?
He did what he didn't hire him to do.
I'm a little confused of you, because what are you paying him altogether? When you're supposed to pay him to make the chair, so you're giving him X amount per hour? Not really. We're talking about it sounds more like cobbler type of thing. You're giving him a fixed rate.
Either or, what's the difference? You're giving him $10 an hour to make this into a chair for you.
Yeah, so either I do have to pay him or I don't have to pay him. How do you analyze this number?
And if it's a cobbler, what's the difference between this cobbler or a pearl?
Because the nails were there, it
Right. How do you get to that? So again, it's the expertise that brings it up, which is part of his hourly fee, really. Meaning, a guy who's more skilled makes more per hour. That's what brings up the labor. Oh, just can't follow instructions. You wanted a chair, you got a bench. So ima shvach yes al itzah. The shvach is more than itzah. Neisa bala kliyas itzah.
It's $20.
Yeah.
The shvach is $150. You see it.
Right.
So you made it itzah. The $20 what you agreed to pay.
No, I understand, but who, when the $150 was what? You were paying him $50?
Yeah, I paid $50.
You were supposed to be paying him $50 to get this done.
$20, because make it share the $20.
Yeah.
Give me the bench.
Right.
I said I can sell the bench.
Right.
I said I should pay the wholesaler $20, because for my profit, the profit is $50.
Yeah.
Right, you give him wood for $100, he put in $20 labor and nails, whatever.
Okay, I mean, it could work what you're saying. I'm just not sure if it's correct. It would make sense. I mean, it could go either way. If, let's say, the chair is only worth $110, and even though he should have gotten more than that for his time.
That doesn't make sense. Just bring it, we're doing this to bring it into our world here.
Yeah.
You're in the business to make chairs, and a guy wants to get chairs from you.
Right.
And he said, the chair's in a month from now, and you hire someone to build a chair, and he comes back on day 29, he gives you a bench. Now you have to go sub. Now you lost it. First, you lost the money because you don't have the client to sell the bench to. The guy who hired you to give a chair, you can't sell to him. So you're not in the business to tread water. How your business is.
Last week, had the cookies, the bottom made a banana cookie, and then they threw it to a cherry cookie. You still have to sell it.
It's simple. What are you paying for? You hired him to make sure of him.
You can't not pay him anything. Just because he didn't do it correctly means he gets zero for his work. But that's a pile who backs out halfway through doing your roof. He still gets paid, right?
Unless it's not the profit in it, more than the
hitzah. So you're allowed to give him the lesser number. So ima shvach yesal hitzah, neisim balakliyas hitzah, v'mitzah yisei rel shvach, neisim leis shvach bilvad. So if the hitzah is more than the shvach, neisim leis shvach bilvad, which means that if this pile of wood that was worth $100 before is only worth $110 now, even if he put $40 worth of time, energy, and labor, blah, 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 you give him the $10, and too bad. That's all it's worth. Meaning, we're not making you lose out. You're not going to have your chair. You're right. It's going to be a little frustrating, and you're going to have to shuffle and figure out how to get what you want now. But we're still paying him something, as long as it's still giving him something for his time. Okay, now this is different than the Mishnah that we read before, is he really did nothing. Right? You hired a guy as a kabbalan to take care of your field, and he didn't deliver, so not only doesn't he get paid, he has to pay you your losses. Over here, you're dealing with a guy who did... See, the first guy, he has to reimburse you. He damaged your goods. Finished. But the person who took your chair and turned it in, took your wood and turned it into a bench instead of a chair, we don't look at him as a mazik. He didn't damage your goods. He didn't do a perfect job. I mean, as you might even say, he didn't do any job because you didn't want that. But lamaisa, he worked and there's a product to show for it. That product has value. So take the value of that product and go sell it and start over. So you're going to have to pay him for his time. The Ramah just adds an interesting line that if, let's say, the value of the materials has gone up, meaning raw materials, even wood, has gone up in the past month from when I gave it to him to when he finished doing what he's doing, how do you calculate that value? Meaning if wood went up from $100, went up by 5%, it's worth $105 now. So he says you start your benchmark is the 105, and above that you pay him for his shvach or itzah. Yes?
So I was
thinking,
the fact that the guy is hiring you, what can you take into consideration over here? The fact that he has overhead and he has a warehouse and he's paying.
How do you define
how
it's all?
You don't have this. You're in business to sell product, so you hired this guy and now you can't sell his product this month. So how are you paying your rent now? You're being stymied on this guy, brilliant chef. Yeah, you can sell him. Maybe you'll sell the bench next month. But now you hired him to make the work for you this month, and then he came short. What goes into consideration?
Yeah, some of the damage.
Right. Uh-huh. I mean, he didn't do a good job, so you don't have to pay him top dollar, but you still have to reimburse him for working.
It's only a grandma or a guy there that he caused you to
probably
be squeezed by your landlord. Right. And
now you got to work around it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now Amar Bala Kli,
going to bench business.
Change your line. Amar Bala Kli, ain't he right to the kanazu? Now this is really what you're screaming. The Bala Kli is saying, no, thank you. I don't want that. Eliyit only demayat semer. I demayat eitzim. I'm not interested in dealing with this whole thing. You keep it. Keep the bench. Give me back $100 and let me start over with my wood. I demayat. Ate some ain't shemelay. It's too bad. Ain't shemelay. You don't listen to him. I didn't hear the case. What was the case?
Too bad.
Yeah. I mean, imagine what a tailor. You give material to a tailor to make something for you, and you know you want to pair pants and mix your jacket. See, you're not interested in paying him, but it's too bad. And similarly, if the Uman tells him, on the flip side, the Uman can't either just switch to that and say, okay, I'm giving you back the money and goodbye. I like benches. I make benches for a living. I mean, you ordered a chair. I don't do chairs. I didn't know. You know, I don't care that you wanted a chair. So I'll keep the bench. Here's the $100. Then also the Balabais could say, no, thank you. The basis of this is that the Uman is not kind of mishvach kli sha'asa. There's always a fundamental machlekes when you give something to an Uman to work on or to create something from. Is he kind it or does it still belong to you? When I give him the wood and he's working on my wood, and that wood all of a sudden turns into a shtender, which now has value, is it when I pay him I'm buying it from him, or all along it was mine and he had no kinyan in it, he was just a laborer that's getting reimbursed? And we pass in Eina Uman kind of Mishvach Kli.
What would be the difference if something happens to it?
There could be a difference of mazik in between. I mean, a difference here could be even that it's his. Meaning, if let's say Uman is kind of Mishvach Kli, so in essence it's the Uman's all along, and if the Uman wants to tell the guy who made the order, listen, you don't like it, no problem, I respect that, here's your $100 back. And the guy says, no, I don't want my $100. You know, I want the whole thing. So if the Uman is kind, it's too bad on the guy who made the order.
But the damage to the Uman's premises, he's responsible.
The Uman would be responsible then, yes. Yes. Ain't Uman kind of Mishvach Kli is the way we paskin, and therefore it's not his, it remains the Balabais all along. It's my $100 worth of wood. That's why even if it goes up from, if raw material goes up from 100 to 105, we factor from the 105. And above and beyond that, I have to pay him for his the lower of either the Shvach or the Haitzah. Okay, let's go right. It's interesting, I mean, all of these things seem to be limited to a Chafetz, right? We could all think of situations where you have employees that cause damage to a business or to an employer. That's not necessarily always so tangible, not something linked to an object. How do we look at things then? You have a person working for you that messes up on something, but the something they messed on is on a computer screen. It's not something that's on a piece of wood. So how do you tack a price tag to that?
And then driving a truck.
Someone is driving your truck. Okay, good.
It's an accident.
Okay, that's just a mazik. I mean, that's not. He didn't do anything to your to reface. I mean, he did reface, but that's someone who's mazik. Your worker is mazik your thing while he's on the job.
You can't go after the worker.
I'm just pointing out, how does that link to all of this?
Works for you per hour. You get to make from wood to make a chair.
Yeah.
You damage the wood. You can make another one, no chair.
You can't?
You cut it into small pieces. Now it's no chair, just firewood. It's direct damage.
Right. He did that intentionally?
No.
You messed up.
He doesn't sell there in this fashion again.
Communication issue.
I have some Russian working for this.
If a worker's nasty to your clients, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of scenarios of people doing damages. I just wonder, is that all linked to this? I mean, this seems to be very material. You know, what happens when it's not like this? How do you analyze? Is it the same thing? I mean, the other extreme of it was the Makabal Sadam Chaver V'Hivira, where we bill him the whole thing, right? Well, the guy who takes my tzemer and he burns it, he tak has to pay for the whole thing. These other cases are where he performed and he did something. The something is not precisely what I wanted, so Yad al Tachtayna, so to speak, that he's not going to get reimbursed fully. But the guy who damages my thing.
Well, the guy who acts like a jerk to your customer, and then you lose your customer, because you have to, if you fire him, you see, he didn't perform, but you can't. You can't. I don't think you can go to the guy. You can't go to the guy. I mean, where are you going to put a number on that?
Well, let's say you have numbers.
You lost your client. The guy $100,000 last year, so that you can project.
No. You had a contract. You had an account that he was working on right now that you now lost. A tangible account that's gone because of it. So there's a price tag on that. But can you hold that against him? I once had this in yeshiva conceptually, but I don't know if the psak that I got was cheshe mishpat. I once asked the shayla what to do. I made a certain error that cost a few $100, and I felt an obligation to cover it from my own pocket. And I went and asked the shayla, and I was told no, that I don't have to. But there is a concept of an employer absorbing certain mistakes. What I was told is, don't make mistakes too often because you might lose your job. But you know, when you make a mistake, that you know that's included.
Your employees are not perfect. So it's not negligent.
So is that different because they're an employee versus the contract versus the carpenter? Why is this different? When you give this to the carpenter and he messes up, you're supposed to tell him, thank you so much, I really appreciate the bench you made for me, here's your $150, keep it up.
The carpenter has his own.
But he's not your worker.
Let's just say he was a pilot. Let's say he wasn't a cop. Let's say he was a pilot.
What's that?
You pay him per hour.
Yes. Let's say you paid him to make
a cop. You're paying for that crime. So you're presuming that he knows what he's doing, that he's going to get it done properly, and at a certain level, and he's not going to mess up. But a pilot, it's a very different relationship. He's saying you're going to work by the hour, and you're going to do this supervision. He's doing on your premises generally. And you make more allowances for that.
Wait, so you're saying the distinction here is Pyle versus Koblin? That these are Koblin cases and we our worker is a Pyle?
Seems to be there is a difference.
So a guy who's commissioned, he's not a Pyle, he works, you know, per job.
Commission?
Commissioned salesman.
Yeah.
It's a different Pyle.
But a commissioned salesman that causes you damage.
I think he's really a Pyle.
Yeah?
He's working for you. It's just that you're paying
him. Paying per that, based on that.
Per that.
Mm-hmm.
But if he has his own firm, then he's doing work.
Right.
A commission salesman works exclusively for you.
He doesn't sell, he doesn't make. So whatever it is, it's the cover.
You have to define the job. What's his job? The job is not to sell that specific customer.
Sell the product.
To sell the product.
A regular worker gets always paid. It doesn't matter for his time. You pay him a percentage of the sales. The same salesman. What's the commission only? State commission.
Distributor?
Distributor, same as sales.
Set a separate company. He's got his own business.
Same here. The commission is state commission. Yes, state commission. State commission.
You say state commission?
Straight,
I'm sorry. Okay, let's see something interesting weiter from this Gemara about Matzliya Daf Pegimel, which now we see right in the finish of Sadin. Huh? Okay. So now, even though we just finished saying that you can get away with not paying and you might be able to bill the payol, now we're going to see a very interesting din. It's literally the top line of that next Gemara. Rabba Barbar Chonon, Tavru Lehanu Shkuloi Chavisa Dechamer. This is an exceptional case. He hired movers to transport barrels of wine for him, and they broke the barrels. So what would you say? Pay them full price? So Shaka Lagli Mayu, he chopped away their clothing from them. He stole their truck. So forget it. You guys, I'm not paying you for the job. And he took collateral. Asu Amru L'Rav, they went and snitched to Rav. The Rabba Bar Chanan took away our truck. Amr Le'ei, Rav said, Havlu Glumayu, give it back. You have to give it back to them. So what does that mean? Said Rabba Bar Chanan, Amr Le'ei, Dina Hachi, is that the din? Why do I have to give it back? I hired them to do a job, and they damaged my thing. I mean, not only didn't they move my barrel from point A to point B, my barrels were worth $10,000, and they destroyed my $10,000. They were mazik me $10,000. They owe me $10,000. I mean, this should be similar to the case of the guy by the field, I mean, who's supposed to do the work and perform and create $10,000 worth of payers, and he didn't, where he has to pay you the $10,000. So, I mean, over here, it's even worse. They took my object, and they broke it. So
the issue is the damages, not the wages.
The wages seems to be a given that you're not paying them. Here, what about the damages? So says the Gemara, he told them, give it back. Why? In l'manteilech bederech tevim. Yes, this is the din for you. This is what I'm telling you to do. I expect you, l'manteilech bederech tevim, you should go along the path and the way of good people. Meaning, lefnim yishuas hadin, go and give them back their glima, and don't hold that against them.
That means that technically, if you weren't Rabba Bar Chanan, you could...
It sounds like you would be able to collect the damages. So then what happened? Amrulay, they told him, listen here. He gave it back, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yavlu glumayu, gave him back their truck, their clothing. Amrulay, they told him now, Aniye Anan, we're impoverished people. Abisur Rahmanis, we worked the whole day. We tried our best to move your barrels. It didn't work out. We had all your furniture in our truck and we got into a major accident. I'm sorry, but you should still pay me. The kafinon. But less than me, we don't have anything. We worked so hard. Reimburse us. So Amalei, again, Rav stepped in and he called Rav Bechanan, Zil, have a grow. Go pay them in full. Give them their wages. Amalei, Dina Achi. Is that the din? Meaning not only did they damage me, they didn't perform anything and make me pay them. Amalei, in the Archis Tzadikim Tishmet. So I swear that pasuk. You should go with Derech Tevim. The Archis Tzadikim Tishmet, the ways of Tzadikim. And you should watch.
Roll down.
And that's why we have insurance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is something impossible for us to fathom, indeed. I mean, it's one thing if you're talking about a $100 issue, you know, you ask the guy to just come help you build your sukkah or something, and he's supposed to bring the wood from the lumberyard, and he damaged it on the way.
You're moving from Brooklyn to New York, and the moving company has every single, all your possessions in the truck, and the truck burns, you know, just
goes up in flames,
fire.
Right? Right? Like, so here you go, they're going to tell you after, we worked hard, please pay us. Right. Zog to Rashi.
It was an ionis.
You know what? It could be I'm making a mistake. You'll forgive me. No. That's the Gemara before. Misham Kuli is Pshia. Shkuloi. No, it's not true. It is Rashi. Rashi did say this. I didn't imagine this. I saw this yesterday. I was wondering. Shkuloi. You see the Rashi a few lines on the bottom. Naisei Masa Ois. These are people that were carrying loads. V'tavrulei Shaloi B'makam Adrin. V'bipshia. They broke it. Shaloi B'makam Adrin. It wasn't because there was black ice. It wasn't because they were on a slope and they weren't able to be cautious enough. It was a Pshia. They broke in a situation where they were walking down the street and they were Pshia. Now Pshia doesn't have to mean that they intentionally drove it into a wall, but it means they didn't use enough caution, and they're not considered Einus, they're considered Pshia. So they're responsible. Inami Bediglo. I don't remember what Bediglo means. B'derech Tovim, Lefnim, Mishuras Hadin. You have to go Lefnim, Mishuras Hadin. B'archas Tzadikim Tishmar,